Well, good morning, everybody.
Father, we thank you. We can bow down to you. We thank you for the opportunity to pray. We thank you for your precious word, Lord, and open our ears to it this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we continue on. We'll have another time, I guess, or two of Ascent Psalms. And so we're in 129, and we'll do 130 as well today. The 129 begins with a song of victory over Zion's enemies, and 130 is waiting for the redemption of the Lord. Isn't that a great, great topic, waiting for the redemption of the Lord? And so I'm always looking for excuse to sing Isaac Watt hymns. You know, I know all of you like the new songs, and of course Isaac Watt songs are all over 300 years old, so this is not a new one, but the words are just awesome. And I was thinking about the cross here primarily because there's one verse in 129 here where it says, the plowers plowed on my back. They made their furrows long. And I think actually that's probably talking about the slavery of Israel in Egypt primarily. But when I look at that, I see my Savior. I see my Savior with his back ripped open with the scourging. And, you know, Psalm 50, verse 6 says, I gave my back to the smiters who struck me. And so I was thinking, as I was just looking at this song, alas, and did my Savior bleed? Or you might know it, at the cross. Alas, did my Savior bleed, and did my Savior die? Would he devote the sacred head for such a worm as I? Man, can you relate to that? Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree, amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. How awesome. Well, might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ, the mighty maker, died for man, the creature's sin. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. What a song. He's credited with over 750 hymns, and his hymns are just so scriptural, so there's always a message there. You may not be familiar with the tune, but I know you'll know the chorus, so let's sing along here if we may. Thank you. you can sing that and keep your eyes dry. You're a better one than I am. Psalm 129. Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel now say, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. So we're talking about the enemies of Israel. Now, I believe if this was written by David, this is around 1000 BC, and they came into the land about 1500, maybe a little long, more, 1550 BC. So they've been in the land 500 years, and they've had different things going on. But they also had 400 years of slavery before that, which you can always look back to in terms of being afflicted. And so you can put all that together however you want. But we see they have not prevailed against me. And I think about what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. I'm cast down, but I am not destroyed. They have not prevailed against me. So, you can look back. We've been through some things. We're going to go through a lot more, I think. But we're still here, aren't we? Jesus said with the church, I will build my church and the gates of hell, Hades, shall not prevail against it. So we have won because of what he has done, regardless of what it looks like on the outside. And regardless of how the enemies rise, and if you look at any kind of history at all, they're always there. Now, we've had periods of time where it was more than others, but other than this country, there's been persecution pretty much for Christianity all along, really. Verse 3, the plowers plowed on my back. They made their furrows long. Probably in reference to the slavery there, of the many whippings that they had in Egypt, but again, as I mentioned earlier, I look at that and I see Isaiah 50, verse 6, I gave my back to those who struck me. And Jesus had his back laid open. You know, those men, monsters, who laid the whip on, they had it so exact they could just keep opening the cuts up on a person's back by the way they laid it on. And so the plowers plowed on my back. So I see Jesus' back there in that verse. Maybe you see the slavery in Egypt, but whatever. Verse 4, the Lord is righteous. Oh, hallelujah. We have a couple of great words in here, righteous, and before we're done, we'll have mercy, and before we're done, we'll have redemption and redeem. So we have an awesome God. He is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. Thing of Zechariah 12:3, it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. So the Lord will take care of the wicked. Those of you who have been in the Matthew study, remember on the tares and the wheat. We're told they're not to take the tares out. That's the job of the Lord. He'll take care of all of that at the end. But we are to continue to keep our minds on what is right. God will take care of the wicked. And here it is. He has cut the pieces of the cords of the wicked. Verse 5. Now we're going to talk for the rest of these 8 verses here about those who hate the Lord. Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and not turn back. When you study the Book of Martyrs or other books like that, you want to, there's a few in there, there's Bloody Mary, there's Bishop Bonner and a few others in there that you would just love to pray the precatory psalms on them and just have them ripped to pieces, right? Because of how horrible they were and how many lives that they caused to be taken in the name of Jesus. But that has been going on and still is. And then here in verse 6, what do you think about these wicked ones? Let them be as grass on the housetop which withers before it grows up, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, nor he who binds sheaves his arms. On the houses in Israel typically are flat roof houses. They usually had a little parapet around them so you didn't fall off. And wind would blow and it'd get dirt up there, and then the grass would grow, the weeds would grow, but there's no roots there, so they would very quickly die out every year, not to the point of where you could harvest it or mow it or reap it. And so that's like the wicked. They spring up and they look pretty vigorous for a while, but they'll die out. That's what this says to me. And then verse 8, neither let those who pass by them say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. And you may remember, this is such a great thing here. We had this back in the book of Ruth. And when Boaz, in verse 4 of chapter 2, now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. So that was typically a blessing and a response during harvest time or during times of thanksgiving and so forth. But here it says, don't let them say that. Why is that? Well, we're talking about the enemies of God. They would only be saying that in a mocking way. They wouldn't be saying it, Lord bless you. They hate the Lord. So they're scoffing, I think, is why it says, neither let those who pass by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. We don't want blessings from the wicked ones. You remember when Paul was on, I think it was the island of Cyprus, and he had this one following him around who was demon-possessed, and she was really a good PR for the gospel, so to speak, because she was bragging about what a great person or son of God or whatever Paul was in her words. She was making money for these people. She was a sorceress. And Paul said, basically, shut up. I don't need any PR from the other side, right? I see that here. I don't know if you see that or not, but neither let those who pass by them say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Now we move on into Psalm 130. My soul waits for the Lord. Ah. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. I don't know if you've been in the depths or if you're in the depths now. If you haven't been and aren't, you will be. That's the walk of a believer, right? You're either going into a trial, you're in a trial, or you're coming out of a trial. That's kind of the three stages we're in, more or less. And here, the psalmist is in the depths. Out of the depths I have cried. I think of Jeremiah in Lamentations 3:55. I called on your name, O Lord, from the lowest pit. Now, that's pretty low down, isn't it? The lowest pit. Not just the pit, but the lowest pit. And then Jonah, you remember him. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and all your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. And then yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Hallelujah. But here's a psalmist, out of the depths I have cried to you. So my question is to you, how quickly and how often do you cry to the Lord when you're at the bottom of the barrel? If you don't, you're going to stay there. It's bad. But he knew who to cry to. I have cried to you, O Lord, hear my voice. Let your earth be attentive to the voice of my supplications. I was just reminded of, you know, what Jesus said as he would talk to the multitudes there in the New Testament. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. So God is telling us to listen up, and here the psalmist is telling God to listen up. Well, I think that's fine. I don't think there's any reason you have to tell the Lord to hear your voice, except it's good for you to recognize that he does hear your voice. He hears everything. He knows what you're going to pray before you pray it. He puts it in your heart to pray in the first place. So you don't have to spend a lot of time, as we know, in describing all every ache and pain you have. He already knows it. But it is good for me to say, Lord, hear my voice, because I want my prayer to be intentional. I want my prayer to be meaningful. I want my prayer to be, you know, effective. And so if I know that he's hearing my prayer, I mean, I'm reminding myself that he's hearing my prayer, I think my prayer would be more effective. And then this great verse, verse 3, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Don't often get a chance to quote Nahum, but here's a quote that comes to mind, Nahum 1:6. Who can stand before his indignation, and who can endure the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. So, O Lord, if you should mark iniquities, who could stand? Now, one of the things we believers need to be reminded of when you're going through heavy trials, don't mistake it necessarily as a punishment for something you've done. Typically, that's from the Lord is not it at all. But Satan is going to tell you, yeah, it's because of the sin. That's why you're suffering. It's because, you know, if you weren't such a rotten sinner, you wouldn't be having all these pains and aches and everything else. But that's not true. So, Lord, if you should mark iniquity, who could stand? None of us have a leg to stand on, right? It's because it's what he's done. So we need to remember that, don't we? Verse 4 saying that, but there is forgiveness with you. Oh, wow. There is forgiveness with you, that you, Lord, may be feared. And then verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. And then really important, and in his word I do hope. Does that fit you? Are you hoping in his word? Are you in his word continually? Are you in his word every day? You need to be. I need to be. I wait for the Lord, and my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. I don't know how many of you are, anybody here a watchman? I'm sure the night watchman loves to look at the east to see when does it start to get light, particularly if you're out in cold weather. But my soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. Verse 7, O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. Isn't that great? Not only redemption, but abundant redemption. I love that. Merciful, abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And of course, that's Old Testament. Today, I would read that he has redeemed you. He has redeemed me from all our iniquities if we are his, right? If we are a believer, if we've been born again. And for that huge number out there who do not know him, that verse does not apply at all. He's not going to redeem someone who has rejected him. So we need to continually give the message out by our actions and our lives and our prayers, that they would have their iniquities redeemed as well, be redeemed from their iniquities. Father, we have time to pray now for a few minutes. I have much to think about with these words from your word, the Psalms, Lord, and thank you for it. So guide us now and lead us in one accord as we are led by one Spirit. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Amen. Well, let's move on to closing with a song. I'd like to have Pastor Ed share with us just a few minutes on some of the highlights of Africa, because I know you've been praying. But as we get to Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. And in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. And so, we're talking about redemption in this psalm, and so this psalm, Jesus is coming, even so come. And in the chorus is, so we wait for you, God, we wait, you're coming soon. And here we read this morning, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. So let's sing together, if you will. It's on page 4 at the top.
All of creation, all of the earth, make straight a highway, path for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sinner, wake up the saint. Let every nation shout of your fame. Jesus is coming soon. Even God, we wait your coming soon. We believe, so we wait. We wait for you with our eyes to the sky. God, we wait your coming soon. Like a
Father, I thank you for this church right here, this faithful group that comes every Saturday. And Lord, as it says, we want to be ready for you. And I know that this group is, and may we continue to stay ready to watch and to work. In Jesus' name, amen.